Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Well, hello, team. I am Fitz Kohler, your very sweaty fitness expert, race announcer, author, blah, blah, blah. And welcome to the Fitness Show. Today, again, we are going to talk about fitness. This time, I'm answering your questions, which I love to do. And folks, keep the questions coming because I can drone on and on and on about fitness and exercise and nutrition, but it really helps me to know that I'm actually answering questions that are on your mind. What specifically is bugging you, concerning you? What has got you scratching your head? That means a lot to me. So we're going to talk about that today. I believe I chose, it's like 8 to 10 questions, something like that. Sorry for my vagueness, but that is how I roll. All right. Before I get there, though, I got a few things I want to address. I am staring down the barrel of the dancing gala gun. That's right. I have a week and a half until, no, is that right? Yeah. 2 weeks. I have 2 weeks until my Dancing with the Stars performance, and the heat is on. And so I can tell you that sometimes I'm training with Tucker and it feels like everything's going right. We're getting it. It's getting better, right? I feel like, oh, we're doing better and I feel happy about this and I'm having fun. And then sometimes my choreographer, I kid you not, says, are you possibly happy with that? I mean, only if you're happy with garbage. That's right. I and my actions were compared to garbage this week. So don't just root for me. Please donate. The whole purpose of this colossal effort is to help raise funds for this national ballet company to build a brand new studio for professional dancers from around the world to come and train, and youths. And you know, I love to get kids up and active. How do you do that? If you go to fitsness.com, very close to the top of the page, there's a big image. It says Fitz Dancing with the Stars, donate here. What I'm hoping, this is my thought process, is I've got so many followers on social media, and my followers I consider friends. If all of my friends donated $5 to $10, I'd take this thing home in a heartbeat. And that's the People's Choice Awards. There's also awards I could win by having butts in seats. The tickets to this event are $250. And even though I have some friends who are kind of wealthy, my friends are just really not in that category, nor do I feel comfortable asking somebody to take $250 out of their bank account to do it. Unless they've said, hey, I really have it and I really want to do it and it's for a good cause, then fine. But I don't think I am going to come anywhere close to winning the cheer squad. My people are very regular income people, I think. So if you could find it in your heart to donate $5 to $10 on that button, if you want to donate more, what I've offered is if you donate $37 or more, then I will create your own personal go. That's right. I will make a recording bellowing your name, Marty, set, go. But I'll do it way cooler, way better, and create a nice little start for all of your workouts, all your runs, all your swims, and whatever you do. I'd like to kick you off with that. But that's my thank you in return. So $37 or more, that would make me very happy. But also $5 to $10 would thrill me to no end. And I do think I have an army of friends. And hopefully you guys will turn out for me, because I certainly work very hard to try and support you with my effort. So Dancing with the Stars, hopefully I will not be garbage on March 30th. Also, you can watch live stream at champagnegala.org, I believe. And they're live streaming. I'm not sure exactly what time it is, but sometime on Eastern time in the evening, you will be able to see me sink or swim. Woohoo! I just came back from Sacramento, where I announced my very first pickleball tournament for the APP. And that was fantastic. It was a nice surprise to be invited to do that. And it was broadcast on ESPN2. And we had a great time. I think they probably had 1,000 pickleball matches over the week. And I was in charge of the champions court, where the professional athletes would compete in singles and doubles and mixed doubles and watch them through their quarterfinals and semifinals and championship matches. Very exciting, a lot of fun, and pickleball. I can't wait to play. I actually haven't played it yet. I'd really like to. It's on my agenda. As soon as I'm done with this dancing thing, I'm going to get a paddle and show up at the local park where all the pickleballers play and say, can I join in? But I'm going to Miami too. So I think it's the weekend of March 24th. I will be in Miami announcing another pickleball tournament. So how did that happen? And then this weekend, I'm headed to Las Vegas to do a few things for a breast cancer conference. It's called the Young Survival Coalition, and it's for women and men who have been diagnosed before the age of 40. So a lot of real young, mostly women. I think 500 plus are converging on Las Vegas, and I will be speaking. I'll be talking about your healthy cancer comebacks, which I'm excited to do. I will be doing book signings. I will be teaching a morning stretch class, and then I will be hosting or co-hosting the fashion show we're having on Friday night. I'll tell you more about that after it happens, but know that there is very, very Vegas-y style fun going to be had at this conference. And I'm really excited. It's a nice opportunity to meet a bunch of people in this club I'm in that I didn't want to be in. And I think nobody wanted to be in the, hey, we have or had breast cancer club. But what I found is this club of mine is filled with the most lovely, compassionate, sharing, interesting people. So it is what it is. And I'm excited to go hang out with those gals. And we have a lot of fun in store. Again, I will tell you after the fact what happens, but I cannot tell you in advance because it's too, I just can't go there. I just can't do it. Okay. Is there anything else I wanted to tell you? No, that is it. We're going to get right into the questions. And again, as I'm going through these questions and giving answers, think about the questions you have, and you know how to contact me. All you got to do is go to fitsness.com. There's a contact button. You can reach out on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Just send me a message and I will answer your question. And thanks to all of you who have been listening. It makes my heart very happy, and I love your feedback. And I also love seeing your ratings and your reviews on Apple Music and Spotify and wherever you listen. It's nice to see. And normally I can tell who's there. I can see that Amy and Dana Costin from the Runny Drink podcast has left me a lovely podcast review, and that means a lot. So thanks. Busted doing something good, Costins. Okay, question number one. What are the best exercises for building muscle mass? And muscle mass means you're trying to increase your muscle, right? You're not just trying to lose weight and shrink down. You're trying to build up, get stronger shoulders or bigger biceps. Any exercise, any strength training exercise will work for building muscle mass as long as you train in the proper way. And the proper way for building mass is to max out when you do repetitions. You don't want to do 10 repetitions of anything. You want to choose a weight or a resistance in which you can only do, let's say, 4 to 6 repetitions. By rep number 4, you're thinking, holy moly, this is hard. And by number 6, you are quivering and you have to stop. You have to stop doing the pull-ups with a dumbbell strapped around your waist, or you have to stop doing the bicep curls, whatever it is. And I'm talking about with proper form, because you could totally take horrific form and swing up weights that are too heavy for you many times, and that'll just cause suffering. But any strength training exercise you do where you max out by number 4 or 6 repetitions, that's what you should be doing for gaining muscle mass. And believe it or not, I do a bunch of exercises, especially for my back and my chest, where I max out at number 6. That's something even small women do it. And note that there's no chance in HELL, unless I started jacking up my mouth with supplements and shakes and excessive amounts of meat and calories, would I ever get big, big muscles. Big muscles to me are strong, curvy hamstrings and strong, curvy shoulders. I'm never going to be that big, giant bodybuilder girl. That requires excessive nutrition. What I'm telling you, And yes, women, I'm talking to you too. If you would like to be stronger, put on some actual muscle and have curvy muscles, 6 repetitions will do you just fine. Okay, next question. Should I do cardio before or after weightlifting? Fantastic question. And I think the answer resides in you. So which is your priority? So if you are trying to put on muscle mass, if that's your real priority in life, or gaining strength because you were weak, or gaining strength because you just really want to be stronger, do strength training first. Because if you do the cardio first, you might fatigue yourself and not be able to do as well with strength training. Now, if you're training for a triathlon and cardio is a real priority for you, building up stamina, endurance, do that first and save your strength training for after, especially if you're going to do it all in one day, right? So you could do cardio on Monday and strength on Tuesday, and cardio on Wednesday and strength on Tuesday. Fine. But a lot of people are willing and wanting to dedicate a bunch of time per day. So choose which is your higher ticket, your higher priority item, and do that first. That's my thought on that. Other than that, you can do either. There's no reason you can't weight train and then go do cardio, or cardio and then go do weight training. The benefit of doing cardio first is it warms you up pretty darn good, and certainly make sure you are prepared to do strength training without injury. But it doesn't really matter. You choose. Okay, what's the difference between dynamic and static stretching? So static stretching is a stretch that you hold in place. So let's say you reach down right now, you touch your toes, you stay there. That's static. You bring one arm across your chest and you hold it there. That's static. So anything you do where you're just holding a stretch and counting to 10 or 30, whatever it is, that's a static stretch. Dynamic stretching is when you stretch while moving. So perhaps you're trying to stretch out your hamstrings, you're preparing for a run or cycling. Instead of just reaching down and touching your toes, you start with kicks. Maybe you start kicking low. You've woken up just 20 minutes ago, so you're going to do some low kicks to get your hamstrings moving. And then as you feel a little warmer, your heart rate comes up, you feel a little looser, you can start kicking a little higher. Not kicking like a karate kick, hi-ya, with a pop. What I'm saying is just low, bringing your toes up in the air kicks. Eventually, you can do dynamic stretching, bringing those toes up way high. Maybe you're like me and you can kick someone in the nose. That's a fun thing to do, by the way. But that's dynamic stretching. If you bring your arms, straight arms, forward and back, crisscrossing in front of your face and behind your back, that's dynamic stretching. So anything you do where you're actively moving is dynamic. Which do I prefer? I prefer dynamic stretching before a workout. That's before the intense part of your workout. So it's a wonderful part of a warm up, especially with muscles that are really cold and rigid from sleep. So dynamic stretching is a great way to combine warming up while increasing mobility. I do love static stretching at the end of a workout. That's once it's been through all the hard stuff, right? That's when you can reach down, touch your toes, and hold. That's how you increase flexibility. And you can go to the toes, and then maybe you can go after. Perhaps you're just reaching down and touching your knees. I know there's many of you who are just touching your knees. That's just fine. Don't be embarrassed about that. Don't be embarrassed. You just touch your knees. And then when you can, you reach down, you touch your shins. And that's good enough too. But that's the difference. Dynamic is active. Static is still. Good questions. Next question. How can I prevent injuries during exercise? Well, there's a whole bunch of ways to prevent injuries. Number one is make sure you warm up properly. And what is a proper warm up? Proper warm up is just simply preparing your body for more vigorous motion, the action you plan to take today. So if you are going to do running really fast, a proper warm up for that would be walking, running really slow. If you are going to cycle really hard, you're in a cycling race, well, then cycling really slow, because you're going through the same motion you will go through during your workout. For me, when I'm ballroom dancing, I do not jump straight into my routine. We call it marking. Look at me. I'm talking dancer talk now. What's going on in this world? We mark the routine, kind of walk through it at a low level. I'm not putting a lot of pizzazz or pop. I'm not kicking high. I'm certainly not doing the backflip, right? So I'm just kind of moving my body in a smaller fashion to get through the routine. It gets my heart up a little bit. And then I stretch. And so that's the thing. You warm up to prepare your body for the motion you're about to do. If you're doing karate, you do low kicks, you do small punches. So we know when you're doing real karate, you're going to be doing high kicks and big punches. So just a smaller version of what you plan to do. Once you've got your heart rate up, maybe there's a little bit of sweat coming off your brow, you know, okay, I'm warm. You've done this for 5 to 10 minutes. Then you pause and you either do static stretching or you keep moving and do dynamic stretching, right? We want to make sure that you are fully mobile, that when you take on those large motions you're going to perform during your workout, that you don't shock those muscles or those joints and have any tears. So proper warm-up, number one. The other way to prevent injuries is by using proper form. Proper form goes a long way, especially during strength training. It's cringy sometimes to go to the gym and see people with those weights that are too heavy and they're swinging their body. It's all full throttle hips and torso to try and get a dumbbell curled or to get the dumbbells above your head. The reason we form is important is it does prevent injury. And the most important part of your body that we're really targeting with proper form is your spinal column and your discs. And the last thing you want to do during exercise is to blow a disc. You don't want a herniate. You don't want to slip a disc. You don't want a bulging disc. You don't want any problems with your discs. And so your discs are the squishy material between, let's say, two plates. So it's like an Oreo. Okay, we're gonna compare your spinal column, your vertebrae and discs to an Oreo cookie. Two hard objects on the top and the bottom, and then squishy material in the middle. If you went to an Oreo and you started pushing on one edge of the Oreo, either, God forbid, that cracker would break, the cookie would break, or the cream would squish out. And we don't want this cream to squish out. And we're probably talking about double stuffed Oreos, right? The super stuffed Oreos where this cream is real squishy and squishable. If you press on that cookie, the cream squishes out. That's your disc. We do not want that. So if you maintain proper posture, which is your head above your spinal column in a straight line from your head down to your tailbone, soft knees, soft elbows. You never extend your arms fully. You never lock out your knees. You do not arch your back. You keep your pelvis tilted forward a little bit. That's proper form. And if you can exercise in that position for strength training, you're not likely to injure those discs. And really, back pain is one of the most common causes of concern for American adults and probably worldwide as well. So protect your spinal column. It's a real important part of your body, folks. That spinal column goes a long way. The other things that's real important are your joints, your shoulders, your hips, your knees, your ankles, your wrists. If you do the wrong thing, if you exercise recklessly, you're far more likely to have joint injuries. And that can really set you back, not only for a small amount of time, but permanently. So proper form goes a long way. And of course, form changes per activity, right? The same form you utilize while you're strength training may be very different than the form you utilize while you're riding a bike or ballroom dancing, okay? So just make sure you learn proper form for each activity and maintain it. And the other ways you can prevent injury is by pursuing all four pillars of fitness. That's strength, flexibility, balance, and cardiovascular endurance. If you lose it, stamina while you're doing something cardio, you're out of wind, you're likely to sacrifice form and set yourself up for injury, for failure, right? The same thing with strength. If you are not strong and you try to engage in a endurance activity your body's not prepared for, more likely to get hurt. So holding your knees in place and your hips in place, really important. It's very funny. There's a couple of people who say, you don't need to strength train to be a good runner. Okay, well, I'm going to ask you this. On any given day doing any given thing, would you rather be stronger or weaker? Is there any benefit to being a weakling in any category? When would you say it would be super beneficial to have super weak shoulders? when? Yeah, that time doesn't exist. So it's really confusing to me that there's a guy who's like, there's no proof that strength training will make you run better. And I think, for the love of God, do you actually need proof? I mean, let's go to a track meet. Let's talk about our fastest athletes, the sprinters. Biggest butts, biggest quads on the planet because they strength train. Strength equals power. So yes, if they were scrawny little muscle-less weaklings, would they be winning these sprinting competitions? I think not. Even our greatest marathon runners are strength training. They do a heck of a lot to keep their body powerful. So there is no benefit to being weak. Let's start there. There's no benefit to being weak. And if you are strong, your muscles are able to keep your spinal column in alignment and your joints doing the things they should. So yeah, that's another way to prevent injury. Another way to prevent injury is to really focus on flexibility, right? The more mobile you are to an extent, the less likely you are to hyperextend a joint or a muscle and have a sprain, strain, or tear. So if your body's already capable of going to that full range of motion, you're certainly not going to tear your muscle because you went to a larger range of motion. You also can prevent injuries with balance training. Why? Because if you do not have good balance, you are likely to fall down and get injured. That goes while standing on 2 feet or 1 foot, or while on a bike or on a pogo stick or a jumping rope or whatever it is. Balance is essential. So yeah, those are things you can do to prevent injury during exercise. And if you were on a collegiate team, I don't care what sport you're playing, pick any sport, and you were at a let's say any D1 university, probably D2, not only would you have a coach for your favorite activity, but you would have a strength and conditioning coach. You would have someone who is exclusively there to make sure you were working on all four pillars of fitness. So know that your body needs those things, and nobody wants to be on the injured list, right? That means you've done something wrong or there's been a whoopsie. And sometimes life happens. Sometimes a pothole hits you, right? But you can control a lot of those factors, and you should. So that's a great question. There's a lot of things you can do to prevent injury during exercise. All right, next question. Is it better to do full body workouts or split routines? I have absolutely no preference. Do what suits you. Do what you can with the time that you have. So I do full body workouts on the regular. So I go in, I do lower body. I start at my core and I do chest and back, and then I do hips and glutes. And then I move down to shoulders and lats. And then I do quads and hammies. And then, you know, so I work my way out from my belly button and I finish up with abs. So that takes me about, I don't know, an hour. I can certainly do it in less if I'm targeted and only doing 6 reps. But it's up to you. If you'd like to strength train every single day, upper body on Monday, lower body on Tuesday, or you can be one of those people who do back and bys and tries on Wednesday and quads and hammies and glutes on Thursday. It's totally up to you. It makes absolutely no difference to me. And I don't think there's any benefit specifically either direction. Okay. How do I know if I am overtraining? Well, that's another great question, because a lot of people are. So you'll know you're overtraining when you are beaten up, right? Beyond just a little sore, you think, woof, I am going to have a bad day. I need to hit the sack early because I'm toasted. You know you've done too much if for the next 2-3 days you are averse to exercise. You don't want to do it. That might mean that you've done too much on day one. If you have extreme soreness and you cannot brush your hair or sit down on the toilet or stand up from the toilet without excruciating pain, that means you've done too much. If you have worked out so hard that your sleep is interrupted, you're sore, you're spasming, you've done too much. If you have loss of appetite, fatigue, illness, depression, those might be signs you're overtraining. So I want you to commit to exercise most days of the week, but know that being a weekend warrior is not a great idea. I mean, obviously you do what you can when you can, just don't overdo it. Don't do too much at one time. Your body's only capable of making a certain amount of progress at a time, right? I can't become 50% more fit today. I just can't do it. So I'm not going to try. if I normally curl 15 pound dumbbells, there's no way I'm going to pick up 25s and give those a shot. Maybe I'll go to 16 pound dumbbells or 17 pound dumbbells, but I'm not going to try to make a 50% gain in one workout. If I normally run 2 miles, I'm not going to try to do 10 miles. I'm not going to do it. Okay. So modest, moderate gains. Aim to be 1 to 5% better each time you work out. And I mean it with that 1%. 1% is just fine. If you get better, if you get 1% better each time you work out, you're going to be there sooner than not, right? You are going to be there much sooner than not. So just be reasonable with your expectations. And if, let's say, you were just having so much darn fun playing pickleball or racquetball, and you didn't want to stop playing because your friends were there and you were just having such a good time, fine. If you spend the next couple of days kind of sore, kind of achy, and your shoulders really sore, okay, just learn from that. Know when to say when. But it's modest progress, moderate ambitions each day, and you should be good. How do I target specific muscle groups for toning? So, you know, I love this question because I loathe the word toning. What does toning mean? I know people tone your hair. I think that takes away the brassiness, but what in God's earth is toning? Toning is getting stronger, but not really. Getting stronger, but not putting on size. No. Toning is correlated to strength training, and either you are getting stronger when you exercise or you are not. There is no such thing as toning. Toning is such a bizarre, bizarre concept, and it makes no sense. When you pick up a dumbbell or you do a push-up or you do a lunge, and either you are trying to get stronger or not, there's no such thing as toning. So I'm going to go back to what she's probably asking is, how do I target specific muscle groups for toning? You just do. You just say, okay, I'm going to work on my flabby arms today. Then you strength train your arms. So you pick and choose, and you can do that. That's actually one of the most wonderful things in the world, is you truly get to be your own Michelangelo. You get to be your own sculptor. So if you're sitting around thinking, gee whiz, I wish my shoulders were a bit stronger, more defined. Okay, let's make that happen. You can do a whole bunch of shoulder exercises, your delts. You can do military press and lateral raise and front raise, and you can even do push-ups would help. So you can target those specific muscle groups, but that's what you do. You just say, I want curvier, stronger legs. Okay, well then do a whole bunch of lunges and squats and resistance bands, lateral gait, and adductor exercises and so forth. So yeah, that's how you do it. You just target those muscles and let it rip. And I do have a full podcast on strength training. It's just maybe a month or so ago. So just go back a few steps in the Fitness Show catalog and listen. That one's a good one. I assure you, that one is really beneficial. If you listen to that, you will change the way you work out for certain. You will know more and you will do better. Okay. What's the importance of proper form when lifting weights? Didn't I already answer that question? Yeah, proper form. So you don't injure yourself. Oreo cookie. Keep the cream inside the cookie. Yeah, you really have a lot of risk during strength training. We're loading up, right? So maybe some of us are only lifting 5 pounds and some of us are lifting 200 pounds. If you don't use proper forms, that added weight can really have a harmful effect on your body. And we want your body to be better, not worse, for the workouts. All right, two more questions. Here we go. How can I prevent and alleviate muscle soreness after a tough workout? That's a fantastic question. So number one, warm up properly. And we've talked about that. So warm up properly. Make sure you have stretched before you've done that tough workout, and then make sure you cool down properly. Okay. The cool down can also be just a smaller, less intense version of your big deal workout. And then finish with stretching. Finish with that static stretching. I love the static stretching. Those things will go a long way to prevent horrible soreness post-workout. Now, when you strength train properly, you actually are doing damage to your muscles in the best way possible. So let's say you do 3 sets of exercise to repetition number 6 or 8. You have definitely torn tiny muscle fibers. And what happens over the next 48 hours is your body sends in the repair troops to say, hey, we're going to fix this and we're going to make it better. And it does. But it takes about 48 hours for that to happen. So know that if you are damaging the tiny muscle fibers, and I want you to, you might be a little sore. And a little sore is just fine. Mega sore, incapacitated, never, ever a good thing. But can you get some massage? Absolutely. Can you continue to stretch throughout the day, throughout the next day? If you have stretching as a part of every other hour in your day, you are so much less likely to be sore from anything. If, let's say, you do a killer lower body workout today, tomorrow, go do something with your lower body. Maybe you're swimming and kicking in a bunch of different directions. That will certainly help beat out that lactic acid. You could go for a walk. You could go dancing, right? Anything to get those muscles that you've worked moving, not strength training, but moving can help alleviate muscle soreness. Now, some people swear by sitting in an ice bath. All I've seen proven on that type of action is short-term benefits. So there's a rush of blood to your body parts because, woo, it's cold right now. It will spike your adrenaline. So if you're feeling down after the workout, all of a sudden you're the most energized person in the world because you've sat on ice, right? Or sat in ice. But I haven't seen any real long-lasting benefits to this will help you recover and this will prevent soreness and so forth. So if you want to go sit in ice and it suits you, fine. I haven't seen much that it can do a lot of harm unless you're a cardiac patient. That's something you should discuss with your doctor. But I would say massage, stretching, proper warm-up, proper cool-down. Okay. Finally, last question of the day. Are you ready for it? Drum roll. What are the benefits of incorporating functional training exercises into my routine? Okay, so functional training exercises are exercises that look very similar to actions you might take in your daily life. And of course, that's beneficial because it prepares you to do those specific things you need to do in your daily life, right? So what is something we do at the gym that doesn't look like something we do in daily life? Okay, I don't know, unless you're a American Ninja Warrior, you're not likely to do a lot of pull-ups in your real life. Or, you know, you could be that person that falls off the bridge and is dangling, and then that exercise is really functional. But let's talk about doing rotational twists with a medicine ball. You have a medicine ball that's kind of heavy in both of your hands. You rotate to the right side, you rotate to the left. That's functional training. Who is that functional for? Okay, well, let's say maybe firefighters, right? They do a lot of rotational motions with pulling. They're pulling their fire hose, right? They're pulling, rotating, and splashing water on things. Perhaps they're rotating to pick up a injured person and lift them up on the stretcher and twist them into a safe space so they can get them into the ambulance. That's functional, right? If you have an active job, perhaps these type of exercises will really benefit you. If you are a construction worker, then maybe doing those hammer exercises really work for you. So squats, those are functional. Do we squat on a regular basis? I tell you, if you're a mom or dad, you're probably squatting all the darn time. If you're an older person, let's say you're elderly, squats are great because you're going to drop something on the floor. And if your legs aren't strong enough to keep you upright while you're trying to pick it up, you might tip over. So functional fitness training will help you through regular life, right? Your regular days. I'm not convinced that sitting on a quadricep extension machine at the gym has any correlation to anything you do in real life. Imagine that. Like, when in the world do you sit down and extend your leg against force? When? Never, never your lower leg against force, right? You never lift your shin up against force. That doesn't happen. So that machine is the opposite of functional. That machine is contradictory to human motion. But squats, we squat in the real world. So if you add some weights and you squat up and down, or you don't even add the weights, you just practice your squatting, that is functional fitness. that's the type of thing that could benefit you in a very big way. So there are functional fitness classes. Of course, there's CrossFit. CrossFit is not all functional fitness. CrossFit does Olympic lifting, which some good, some concerning. I would never recommend doing a deadlift, for example. I think if you want a really effed up low back situation, do deadlifts. How about that for a recommendation? But functional fitness classes are fantastic and clever. And they're you're training kind of the way the cavemen did by just doing exercises that emulate life skills. So three cheers for that. Okay, folks, so that is it. That's the Q&A for today. I really appreciate your loyalty. I love that you listen every week. If you're a new listener, thanks for giving me a try. I hope you come back. I hope you will go back in my catalog and listen to more episodes of the Fitness Show. There's a few from, I would say, the last few months that I really, really want you to hear. There's another Q&A episode, the strength training episode, my episode with Dr. Loam. There's so many good ones. My episode with Dr. Collins is fascinating. With Dr. Loam, we talk about those popular weight loss drugs. We talk about saving the schlongs. You know, if you're suffering from erectile dysfunction, it might be what you're eating. Clint Collins, we talked about hydration. We talked about overactive bladder. We talked about prostate health. We went into all the stuff, but I think those are quality of life issues and length of life issues. So please go back, pick and choose, and then let me know what you think. I'm going to hit our song of the week. Are you ready for the song of the week? I am so excited about this song. So I heard it, the DJ played it while I was announcing pickleball in Sacramento. And I went, oh my God, I got to have that one. It's get this. It's from Pitbull and Dolly Parton. That's right. It's a Pitbull Dolly Parton combo song. And yes, they sang it together. It's called Powerful Women. And it's a lot of fun. And I am a fan of Pitbull, Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide for sure. Dolly Parton, she's the legend, right? She's everything I want to be in this world, Dolly Parton. So her and Pitbull is awesome. It's a thumper. It'll get you moving. It's fantastic fun, and you can listen to it and find it wherever you purchase music. So that is my song suggestion of this week. If you have a song suggestion, go to fitness.com. There's a button that says appear on the Fitness Show, and you can submit a song, whatever song you think your peers, your other Fitness Show listeners would like to listen to. You can make a submission there. I also have another opportunity for y'all to be on the Fitness Show. I want to hear your stories. And so I'm accumulating them right now. But some of our topics that we're looking for feedback on is a fitness meet cute. So did you meet your mate while exercising at a race, at a tennis match, at a soccer game, at the gym, whatever? That's a fitness meet cute. So if you have, I would love for you to go to fitness.com, click on the appear on the Fitness Show button, and you'll find it, right? Some of our other topics that I would love your stories on are radical diets I've tried. And I know there's so many wild and wacky things people are being recommended and giving a go. So let's talk about that. And one of the other prompts is my epic comeback. So, you know, perhaps you've come back from a stroke, or I don't know. What have you come back from? I want to hear about it. So yes, be a part of this show, because I love having great guests, and I love it when they tell fantastic stories. I love you. I love you so much. Thank you again. If you haven't done so already, please like and share and review the show. That's right. Share it. Tell your friends about it. Say, you need to listen. And if you haven't done so yet, please go to fitness.com, click on the donate button, and help me out with my Dancing with the Stars campaign. Thanks, friends. I'm out of here. Get to work. Mwah!
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.